you how to think about these wonderful historic individuals that we have been taught that were just limited to some moment in time. You will find out that not only did she suffer for many years prior to that infamous date, but then what happened afterward, the economic assassination of Rosa Parks. This is something that you need to support. 516-620-3602. Can you imagine? You would think that someone as Rosa Parks, you would think that she would be taken care of for the rest of her life, right? You would think that she would be held up to such a higher standard that this woman would never have to work.
Right.
Not true, right?
Not
Esther,
true.
Not true. And the economic assassination is what happens every single day to beautiful, brilliant minds. Because when they keep you down, when they make sure that you don't have the money to survive,
absolutely,
you can't speak out.
Mm.
That's what happens. That's what happens at public radio stations like WBAI, like the Pacifica Network. If we do not raise the money, we cannot speak out on your behalf. Tell your story. Tell your history. Tell the real story. We cannot question authority if we don't have the money to pay the bills, to pay the electricity or the phone. That's how important you are. 516-620-3602.
That is what you're making the pledge for. We have less than 5 minutes to the top of the hour. So make that call in these last 5 minutes. I know you're still getting used to that number, so we're going to keep saying it so that you get more comfortable with making that call and using that number. So just put it on speed dial. That way, just press redial. Keep it moving. 516-620-3602. You're making your pledge day one on WBAI's Fun Drive. It is Black History Month, and on this day, Rosa Parks, who was born February 4th, 1913, 100 years ago. And today, we have a brand new exclusive premium. It's a brand new book, The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks, by a scholar who teaches political science right here in New York City at Brooklyn College at CUNY, a six-time author. She's written a 300-page book. Did you know that Mrs. Rosa Parks has an entire relationship with the Black Power movement? Did you know that?
No.
She has an entire relationship within the Black Power movement, works within the Black Power movement, defends the Black Power movement in this whole series of interviews. They're all documented. That is Chapter 7 in the book. You can hear about Chapter 6 when Rosa Parks moves to Detroit, moves to the North, and makes a connection between the racism in the South and Montgomery and the racism on the streets of Detroit, and reveals that this notion, this idea, this narrative that she was part of some history that was over in terms of that cancerous racism of the 1950s in Montgomery, pre the passage of the Civil Rights Act, was a crock. That what she found in the North mirrored what she had dealt with in the South, and she committed her life to continuing to fight. It doesn't tell you the story because the idea, as Jean Theo Harris points out, is to make you think that with Rosa Parks' death, with her fight, with her struggle, with that moment symbolized an end to racism. Not only was it a lie, we know the reality because we live it every single day, but it's important that history marks the truth, the full life, the whole story, the totality, unvarnished, without any fear or favor. That is what WBAI does, but we need you to make those calls. We have literally 2 minutes to go to the top of the hour. That number again is 516-620-3602. So you can't hear any phones or usual anything ringing. That is just because we're getting ready to move, our phones are not here. So this is a different service that we're using if you're wondering why it's a little quiet. I know, it's disconcerting, right? It is for me too.
Yeah.
516-620-3602. Coming to the end of this morning's show, but please make that call. Please make that pledge. Sandy kicked our behind.
Indeed.
In all kinds of ways, and we are still struggling to kind of come back on an even keel. So this drive is crucial to really turning our situation around. We're getting ready to move. It is a time of change. Change can sometimes be challenging, but often it represents opportunity. Take the opportunity to support this station, to reintroduce yourself to its power and its strength and its truth and its producers. 516-620-3602. Thank you so much, Michael G. Haskins.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Thank you to Christine Blasel, all the way from L.A. Thank you, Christine.
Well, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I adore your program, and I adore you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we just met. 516-620-3602. grab that number, put it in your speed dial. I know you're kind of cursing us out like they got another number. I know, but just grab the number. Hold on to it. You're going to need it from this day through till the end of February. Make that call, 516-620-3602. The rebellious life of Mrs. Rosa Parks. Keep those calls coming.
This is WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 megahertz FM, streaming at WBAI.org. It is a non-commercial, listener-supported radio station of the Pacifica Foundation, dedicated to understanding the approach to peace and breaking the barriers among communities. My name is Robert Knight, and this program is called Earth Watch. Tonight's program is dedicated to people of more courage than myself, those who are gathered at the Liberty Plaza at the intersection of Broadway and Liberty in Lower Manhattan, up the hill from Wall Street, where we're located at the last house on the left as you go towards the East River. And we extend our commiseration for those who so bravely are facing a cool, misty rain, denied tarpaulins, denied tent coverage by the blue meanies of the NYPD and the main blue meanie, the mayor of New York City, who is taciturn and strangely silent about speaking out against police brutality. I refer, of course, to Mr. Stonewall Street, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We, tonight, intend to discuss the state of the movement with those who are encamped at Liberty Plaza, or possibly in Los Angeles, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, or other places where the occupation movement is taking place, the American fall, to follow the Arab Spring, as it were, and by that I mean the legitimate part, not the United NATO's operations in Libya. I mean the genuine part that was not funded by the State Department. So, during the course of tonight's program, we will be accepting information and taking phone calls at area code 212-209-2900. If you're there, please call. If you know people who are there, tell them to call. And if you're not there but you care, then you call 212-209-2900. And we begin our program with a meditation performed by a magnificent green-shirted band just a short time ago at the Liberty Plaza encampment. And this is Earthwatch, and you are tuned to WBAI in New York. This is earlier at the camp, recorded in living stereo. This is Earthwatch.
Tonight, midnight.
What time?
Midnight.
At midnight. To what? For 1 hour?
WBAI 99.5.
Thank you.
Robert Knight, Earth Watch.
Oh, Robert Knight, all right. Here's
the man!
Follow the tubas. A beautiful moment from just a short time ago this evening at Liberty Plaza at the intersection of Broadway and Liberty, Wall Street and Warpath. This is Earthwatch, and in just a few minutes we're going to open up the phone lines for your calls from the scene. We're trying to give shelter from the storm to the brave people of all ages, youth-led movement of achieving economic, social, and international justice. It's happening all across the country. If anyone was listening earlier today to 5 o'clock shadow, you would know that similar accretions of justice are occurring in Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, San Jose, and San Diego, and many other places. And the band that you just heard appears to have been led by one Roger Manning, with whom I had a joyous greeting, even in the midst of the music. Roger Manning is a former member of the WBAI local station board, which is just another manifestation of how WBAI and Pacifica have been there from the very beginning, and continue with a mandate to do so every day at 9:10 and 5:30 p.m. And I was taken by the coda, the encore, performed by the band that had Roger Manning there while it was happening, because the song is called Bella Ciao. And as people talk about the American autumn of liberation, likening it to the Arab Spring, as regional turmoil is currently being called, Bella Ciao is the theme music that we used for our daily special coverage of that every day at 6:30 following the excellent BAI Evening News that also has been very much on top of this movement. And the poignancy of the song comes from more than merely its Italian and perhaps Yiddish roots. The song Bella Ciao was an anthem for liberation in Italy, the resistance movement, which comprised anarchists, socialists, communists, and anti-fascist partisans, would sing this song in the courage of their facing death against a monstrous fascist empire, which brings us back to Wall Street, because fascism, by some definitions, is a tyranny organized in favor of economic monopolies and minorities. And I think it's worth just a moment to review the lyrics of this song for those who are not speakers of Italian. And the lyrics are something like this. And in one morning, I was awakened. Oh, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Ciao, Ciao. And in one morning, I was awakened and found the enemy was here. Oh, partisan, take me from this place. Oh, Bella Ciao, goodbye, beautiful. Goodbye, beloved, goodbye, goodbye. Oh, partisan, take me from this place, because I feel I'm dying here. And if I die up in the mountain, oh, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, beautiful, bye, bye, bye. And if I die up on that mountain, then you must bury me up there. Bury me high up on that mountain. Oh, Bella Ciao, goodbye, beautiful. Goodbye, beloved, goodbye. Bury me high up on the mountain and let the flowers mark my grave. Oh, partisan, take me from this place. Oh, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Ciao, Ciao. Oh, partisan, take me from this place, because I feel I'm dying here. Ciao, ciao, ciao. This is Earthwatch. The phone number is area code 212-209-2900. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. My name is Robert Knight, and you're tuned to 99.5, or perhaps streaming live at WBAI.org or stream.WBAI.org. And we're inviting everyone who's taking part or aware of or concerned about what is breaking out as a national movement for liberation, inspired by the capital of the planet Earth, New York City, where growing numbers of thousands of beautiful young people of all ages, gender, sex, colors, preferences are gathering to reverse fascism, economic tyranny, and take care of the 99% of us. The phone number here is area code 212-209-2900. And we welcome your thoughts and information. And hey, you're on the air.
Hi. I just got over to George Washington.
Yeah? Hello, hello? You're coming into the thing? Hello, are you there? Please call back. Sounds like an interesting story. 212-209-2900 is the number in case you have forgotten. Hello, let's keep trying that. Are you there? Hello, hello. Hold and repatch. Hello, 212-209-2900. You know, one of the things that we use for internal communications is the KU band, which always goes out when it rains.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Tom from the Bronx here. I just like to say I didn't know other cities had this going on, too.
Listen to the archives. Today's 5 o'clock shadow. I dedicated the program to nationalizing the Occupy Wall Street.
Has that been in the regular media?
Well,
the other cities?
We're BAI. Don't care. We're trying to be pioneers here.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just curious to see if they were smothering it, you know.
I cannot impart intentions to the lack of coverage
right,
of other media.
Right, okay, that's fair, that's fair. I'd like to say that I'm with these individuals, but I don't see how that's going to materialize too well, you know.
Why are you pessimistic?
Well, because what they want is so in-depth, I don't think the regular person can comprehend it.
Well, things are so bad, only the impossible can save us.
Well, you got a point, too. I'll agree.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to get back to our first caller. Thank you, Tom. Always good to hear from you. Is that you, George Washington?
No, this is Clarence from Brooklyn.
Okay, hello, Clarence from Brooklyn. This is Earthwatch, 212-209-2900. Welcome to the air.
Thank you. I am just mortified after what was about to take place during the Obama administration, that he can have the concern or the spine to dispatch Eric Holder, the would-be attorney general, to go down to Georgia to have those crackers, racist crackers, be put on notice. It's all over. He's taken over the case of the late Tyrone Anthony Davis.
Yeah, okay, but we can attribute evil to the acts of people without characterizing the accident of their birth.
Well, all right. Well, the thing is about it, I know of the fact that Eric Holder is the same Eric Holder who took the case of guilty as sin rich coffee growers who were accused of throwing union organizers off of helicopters at high altitude. Of all the lawyers those rich coffee growers could have chosen, why did they choose a man like Eric Holder?
Well, here's why. And just to make a long story short, it is my opinion that Negronicity is not equivalent to blackness in the moral political sense.
True that. And so it has direct lineage to the fact that when it was time for him to tell Obama even, listen, sir, this young man is innocent. If we're going to endear black folks and people of goodwill to this re-election, at least take a stand for something. And here was a very easy case to deal with, because you're talking about no physical evidence.
Yes. Well, there is a movement to pass federal legislation to prevent that from recurring, and I certainly support that initiative. And I think, and anybody who knows me knows that I was very much distraught over the needless tragedy of that execution. And I've been studying, and will present more programs on the cruelty, not only the painful interior chemistry that they say the first anesthetic knocks you out, but then the pain, the burning is so great that you come back from the unconscious and you recover consciousness. That's how evil it is. But I don't think there's been enough said about the psychological. You see, sodium thiopental or pentobarbital induces a form of psychosis in which suggestibility is greater than it is for the rational mind. So here you are. This young black man who has been framed around Ku Klux Klansmen, around haters who think that he's the one to blame. And imagine the magnification of the psychological torture to be in a hypnotic state of a thing that is called a truth serum that is used by the CIA. I've been reading the Central Intelligence Agency interrogation manuals about this. And I hope you'll stay tuned for future programs to try and get beyond the current debate into the hidden and unspoken psychological cruelty and torture of it. And finally, in response to the real point that you're making, electing a black president is not a liberation, but a confinement. Because when you look across the spectrum of progressive activities, Barack Obama has encouraged nothing but stupidity. Barack Obama has annihilated the peace movement while creating more wars and sending more troops abroad than George Bush. Barack Obama has created a health plan that has done nothing but do giveaways and excusements to massive corporations that underpay their low-level workers. Barack Obama has been the kryptonite of the movement. So it is really true what Martin Luther King said. It is about the content of character and not color of skin. This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Hi. This is George Washington. You're on the... Yeah, my husband tried to call. Hang on one second.
Oh, hey. Thank you, Martha.
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are, sir. Glad to hear back from you.
Yes, I was your first caller. I guess the call got dropped. Thank you, AT&T. So, I don't know how far I got. If you have any questions, I was on...
You didn't even get to first base, so go ahead.
Oh, well, I drove into the city from upstate New York today. I host a weekly poetry reading in Woodstock, New York, and I put forth the proposition that we might want to kick in some money to the mobilization down on Wall Street, the Occupy Wall Street people, and everyone kicked in some money, and I delivered it down to them today.
What a beautiful man. You live up to the glorious reputation of your environs, Woodstock.
Yes, well, thank you for that. It was a pleasure to do it. We actually got down to the city about 3 o'clock. We stumbled into their march across Wall Street and joined them. And then I spent 5 or 6 hours in the park with them.
Well, wasn't the behavior so beautiful? The respectful protocols of a conversational intercourse, the smiles, the varieties of people. It was...
But without a doubt, I was really impressed by the energy. But the media or the public at this point generally has the dirty hippie picture in mind. Oh, they just want to hang out in the park.
The media is like generals. They always fight the previous war.
Yeah, you know, these are highly intelligent, motivated, smart young people, and it was really nice. I'm in my mid-50s. It was really nice to see their energy and to see these kids get together and really organize. I shouldn't call them kids. They're really, really just energized young people who are smart, who understand the issues, and who are frustrated and fed up with no response from their elected representatives. And they're mobilizing and taking it to the streets. And we know that no progress has ever really been made in this country without great struggle.
No pain, no gain.
Indeed. So I was really happy to be there. And I would encourage people to stop by that park and see what's going on there with their own eyes. And I think that they would be impressed with what they see.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for covering it. Certainly, there's a heavy, heavy media blackout on this, and they're working really hard to do it.
There's
a... should get on their computers and go to OccupyWallStreet.org.
Yep.
And really get a gist of what these people are doing, because it's a beautiful thing, and I admire their courage. I tip my hat to them. And I told them I'm willing to make weekly visits from upstate, and that just hold their ground, and we'll be in touch.
And we will not be caught in that devil's bargain.
Yeah, and it's happening in cities all over the country. It's a really good thing. It's nice to see people get mobilized. The time is right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for having the call.
Bye-bye. This is Earthwatch, 209-2900, and you are on the air.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a brief comment. I so admire what they're doing down in Wall Street. I want to support them, and this is just the beginning. I feel like, you know, we can do more. There will probably be more marches, and you know what? I feel like we should have, like, a national week where we just don't buy anything. We don't support businesses, corporations, where we just stay home and don't buy anything, and then they'll really get the message.
Back to the days of the economic boycott. That is certainly a useful tactic.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. It was great talking to you. Have a good night.
Thank you, my lovely.
Okay, bye.
This is Earthwatch. You're on the air. Hello. Hello, Ella.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, this is Anne from Jamaica.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm just so disappointed with President Obama. It seems like every time when he gets on and he has to make any comments about black people, it's always something very, very negative. And he did it on the Father's Day, and he did it here recently with we need to stop complaining and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I said, did he forget all the people who were bitten by dogs, had the water hose turned on them, the people who have been hung, and all those things that black people have gone through to get different types of, you know, laws passed to help not only black people, but it was helping everybody. I said, you don't hear him complaining about any other ethnic group, but he's always having these negative comments about black people. And so many countries have negative opinions of us black people anyway. And I can see them saying now, yeah, see there? Even the president is talking about they need to stop complaining. They need to pull up by their bootstraps. Yeah, see, they don't want to do anything. And we have done so much for everyone, and it just really gets me very annoyed with him.
My sister, you give me such comfort. I was early on condemning the anti-negritudism of Barack Obama, and more than that, the universal tragedy of wars that he has incited,
mm-hmm.
his sending twice as many troops to Afghanistan than George Bush dreamed of doing, and his paralysis of our ethics and morals and our ability to march because we think it's all cool because we've got a black skin in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been a waterfall for my thinking, because I agree with what you just said about that insulting speech before the Congressional Black Caucasian.
Yes.
That was when the Democratic Party politicians who spent all and wasted our precious time
mm-hmm.
not challenging the guy.
Right.
They betrayed us, too.
Yes, they have.
And so Barack Obama, who came to this gathering of black people, suckers they were, and dig this, when you talk about, does he know anything of slavery and civil rights? Oh, yes, he knows. He went to Harvard. He knows. He simply has contempt for it.
Well, he seemed like he just had the contempt for black people. I said, you know, I don't think he thinks he's black.
Well, here's the thing. If any other American president had gone before a black congregation like that and said, take off your bedroom slippers. You need to take off your slippers. You need to get moving. You have to take off your slippers and put on your march in. And notice how he deliberately dropped the G's. That, you know, I've heard white people talk black better than Obama.
Yes.
And so he goes in there and he says all of that. And this is what you brought to my mind.
Yes.
My sister, you brought to my mind.
And I'm just...
Wait. You brought to my mind that this goddamn president went to a black gathering and called Negroes shiftless. I haven't heard that in 2 centuries. And Obama comes forward and says that stuff.
Right. I mean, he is
shiftless. You're shiftless. Take off your bedroom slippers and put on your marching shoes. Where the hell has he been?
Right. And I'm saying that so many different countries, they have such a negative opinion, and they think that, you know, we don't want to do anything, and we work very, very hard. Or whatever, and I'm saying that all those marches and whatnot, it wasn't just for black people. Millions of people have benefited from it. And like my grandma used to say, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. And I think that's what he needs to start doing. And I'm surprised that I haven't really heard too many people say any make any remark about his constant deterioration, you know, about us black people. And it's just really, really upsets me. So that's what I wanted to say.
Well, the road is long, but we cast a long shadow, and I thank you for walking it with me today.
Okay.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI.
We would like to.
We would like to.
Start.
Start.
With some words.
With some words.
From Cornel West.
From Cornel West.
Sweet spirit in this place.
There is a sweet spirit in this place.
I hope you can feel the love and inspiration. Those sly stone call everyday people. Who take a stand with great courage.
Because we oppose
the greed of Wall Street oligarchs.
The greed of Wall Street oligarchs.
Corporate plutocrats.
Who squeeze the democratic juices.
Out of this country.
I am so blessed to be here.
Got me spiritually breakdancing on the way here. Because when you bring folk together. All colors. All cultures.
All genders.
All sexual orientation.
Earthquake!
And we will send a message. This is the U.S. fall. Responding to the Arab Spring.
It is going to hit Chicago.
Los Angeles.
Alicia. Reservations, what I read, brothers and sisters.
Martin
Luther King Jr. will smile from the grave.
Say
we moving step by step.
From
what he called a revolution. Don't be afraid to say revolution. Children of all colors,
with the poor children of all colors,
and the orphans and the widows,
and the orphans and the widows,
and the elderly,
and elderly,
and the working folk,
and the working folk.
We connect the prison industrial complex,
with
the military industrial complex,
with the military industrial complex,
the Wall Street oligarchy complex,
with the Wall Street oligarchy complex.
I want to thank you. It's a blessing to be a small part of this magnificent gathering. This is the General Assembly consecrated by your witness and your body and your mind.
Not that we celebrate New Year's, we're celebrating life. Your life and mine. Because from this day on, all of us are going to take on a new name, you see. And to help us do that, we have from Sly and Family Stone, Jerry Martinez. And also from Sly and Family Stone, Cynthia Robinson. Along with myself, also from Sly and the Family Stone, when we made this song together, we made it about people like you. No, it wasn't about a car. It was about people that we love like you. So from tonight on, we're gonna give y'all a new name if you don't mind. From here on out, you are
I'm
every day and every night. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. Phone number 212-209-2900. And we're taking your calls about moving to the future. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good, good.
I just want to say how I've been down at the Cotty Park this week, Monday and today. And I just want to say how proud I am of these kids. This is the best organized this demonstration rally I've ever seen. And it's all from the bottom up.
Amen, brother.
It is absolutely incredible.
Oh, no, 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 it's not incredible. You better believe it. It's not incredible. It's the most credible thing I've seen.
I agree with you. I'm just amazed at how they even have free food. This is the first demonstration I've ever been to that they had free food. That call and, you know, they do the call and response thing because they couldn't get a permit for a PA. But even if they didn't, it's a great idea.
It's genius.
It really gets everybody involved.
Ah, the human amplifier chain. God bless it, man.
It's fantastic. You know, for a long time we've been demonstrating, and there haven't been that many young people. This whole thing is done by young people. And I am so proud of them.
Young people of all ages.
Young people of all ages. I am just so proud of them. They just are doing such a good job.
Well, thank you, my brother.
Have a good night, or good morning.
Have a good future. We might could do that.
Thanks. Bye.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI, phone number 212-209-2900, and you are on the air, my brother.
Yes, hello. Brother Knight.
Yes.
Brother Knight, good morning. I wanted to thank you for something that you brought to my realization, almost in a poetic way, because you said some minutes ago that Brother Obama is the kryptonite of the movement, and it seems so appropriate because as opposed to just a critique of the man, the person, it's a critique of the leadership, I think, of our, at least the African community in America for so long. And I think it's poetic for the following reason. You've spoken essentially, I'm no comic book aficionado, but what I know about kryptonite is the mythology that it was the piece of the planet that Superman came from that made him weak in an element where he didn't belong here on Earth, right? Well, it seems to me that it's the exact analogy of a Barack Obama or any leadership of an African in America trying to lead our people. Mostly, they've been the weakest when they've not been in their element, and they've actually been put up as neocolonial representations, and they've been the weakness for us when they've not been in their element, claiming to represent us.
I never thought I could so blush on the radio.
Well, you've done an excellent job of being very just unintentionally articulate, I suppose, or eloquent, I should say.
I'll take that.
But thank you, brother. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. And your affinity to the kryptonite is very much on point because we are balanced between hope and reversal, between change and repression. One of the things I wanted to make a point of saying tonight is that the brilliant technocrats of this movement have brought the personal passion and the pain of confrontation by brutal racist police and evil mayors who do not condemn that, and recidivist cops who have abused and at demonstrations, opportunized innocent victims time and again. And Ray Kelly is BS. How dare he think of running for mayor? He cannot even control his own police force. Bloomberg is a plutocrat whose
Wealth is inversely proportional to his height. And by height, I mean moral stature. He says nothing about the police brutality, a phrase we knew in decades prior, that continues, perfected to a craft. When a police commissioner brags that he can shoot down airplanes and he's not under arrest for threatening terrorism. Ray Kelly said that. I spoke with a woman who is key in the live streaming of the Occupy Wall Street movement yesterday, Tuesday, on 5 o'clock shadow. And we talked a little bit technical about 4G and live streaming and how she was so excellently able to have mobile walking through Union Square live streaming. And then I remembered the brilliant communication of this movement stands there at the whim of the Obamas and the Bloombergs. You know there's an internet cutoff switch. You know that at every major node in the so-called backbone of the internet distribution system across the United States and around the world, there's a secret back room for the NSA, CIA, DIA that copies the signals. You know that the House Judiciary Committee, a subcommittee there, just voted in favor of legislation that would require internet providers to keep every detail of your activity on the web for a couple of years. So the Bloombergs and the Holders and the Obamas can fish through it and selectively prosecute you. There will come a day that, like in Egypt, America will turn off the internet. Just like they kept Troy Davis' concern from trending on Twitter and Yahoo and other places. Discrimination has turned digital in America today. Today's discrimination in America is digital. And so it will take technology, but more than that, the soul, the courage, the co-bleeding, the sweating together of these beautiful people who are gathering at Wall Street and across the country. Because we speak glibly about an Arab Spring that was in large part technocratically assisted by the U.S. State Department. They had forums and symposia up at Columbia University to suborn the real resistance and rebels of various nations. And I like what I'm seeing so far. This movement does not seem susceptible to that kind of payoff and manipulation. But it's always, you know, a danger, a trap. People speak of this being an American autumn, as if it were a bookend to the Arab Spring. But we may be winning today, and if we want to win tomorrow, we've got to be very careful that we do not revert to winter in America.
Thank you very much. For the last few years, we have been doing a song that concerns the fact that the seasons have been affected recently. Don't seem to have spring like you used to, or summer or fall. It has been a season collectively of frozen aspirations and frozen hopes. We'd like to do a song for you about the season that we're trying to get over. It's called Winter in America.
Like the vultures,
circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. Winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills have been killed. Sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. In America, and ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul. The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, a struggle but it died in vain. And now democracy is ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. It looks like either hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops. They're watching last-ditch races marching across the floor. But just like the peace sign that vanished in our dreams, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. It's winter in America. And all of the healers have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. In America, and ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul from a winter in America. America. about to say. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows, nobody knows.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. I'm Robert Knight, and you tune to 99.5 FM, or perhaps you are, like a great many of you, streaming at WBAI.org, stream.wbai.org. Just come to the website. You'll find your way there. And we're taking phone calls at 212-209-2900. This is Earthwatch. Go ahead.
Hey,
212-209-2900 is the number. We're not going to entertain that racist man who makes fun of indigenous culture. You're on the air.
Hello, Robert.
Hey.
I just wanted to add on what the wonderful lady just spoke. And I was aghast by that, whatever you want to call it, before the congressional, you know, whatever.
Obama's overseer, House Negro speech.
I just thought it was the most vulgar, pseudo-minstrel, you know, song and dance, lame, off Broadway in the gutter sewer, you know.
I expected to see Giuliani in blackface.
Well, maybe he had his hand somewhere. I don't know. I can't even go in there. But at this point, I mean, the gloves have to come off because we all know what's going down. And this thing is just something that, you know, he's like the tough guy. Oh, no. So hold me back, you know, I'm going to kick you, you know what. But then, you know, he's backing up as he's waving his fist. And it's very sad. It's just very sad, man.
Obama is the assassin of the black movement in America.
Is the what? I'm sorry, I missed that.
He's the assassin of the legitimate black movement in America.
Yeah, no doubt. And I knew this was going to happen when he got elected. I was very depressed on that night, even though I wanted to be wrong. I had, did people actually think that the others were going to roll over and play nicer, and that whatever his manifestation of blackness is, that wasn't going to be used as a wedge against him? So, and on top of that, he has displayed not having the character to be able to transcend that ploy that has been used there. So it's a perfect storm of demonic proportion here.
Oh, well said, sir. You can do no better than that. Say it one more time. Say it one more time.
A perfect storm of demonic proportion.
Thank you, my eloquent interlocutor.
Thank you, sir.
This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Brother Robert. This is one of your most fervent fans, Father Paul Mayer.
Oh, what an honor. What a peacemaker. What a hero.
Bless you. And I'm embarrassed because I did something I very rarely do, and that is tune in late. So if anything I say is redundant, please just, in your polite way, let me know.
I would only modify your statement with this. What you might think is redundant, I would merely call resonant.
Thank you. And I do so rarely tune in late because I just want to say, not that you need compliments, but to celebrate, you know, the intelligence and the passion, the balance, and the electronic artistry that you bring to WBAI. I'm grateful for it all the time. What I wanted to say, Robert, is going back to the young people on Wall Street, you know, I felt that as an octogenarian and as a religious person of sorts, I felt I should go down there, you know, and support the young people so that, you know, the older people also help them carry the weight. And it was so inspiring, you know, for someone like me who has for better or worse, been part of most of the great social movements of our times, you know, going back to Dr. King and all the way through it. And what an inspiration. And it seems to me if one were to try to distill the significance of this, I call it something that I have been dreaming of, even writing about, for many years, and it is a politics of the heart. You know, this is not just one more political gathering based on cerebral analysis, you know, or rhetoric, or not that I want to minimize all the good work of the past, and, you know, and the sacrifices and the struggles and the courage, but this is something that I deeply believe our movement has been lacking, you know, that there is an openness here to the emotional and psychological dimension without doing any, without minimizing the serious political underpinnings and quite accurate understanding of who is running our country, you know, the corporate powers, the banks, and with great sophistication. But it is bringing together the spirit of community, the spirit of a democratic decision-making process, and even making room for people who are having psychological or emotional struggles, you know, having that space as well, which is something I think the left generally has minimized and often despised. You know, there isn't room to take care of that. And yet it is, I believe, in fact, what has caused some of the great internal problems of our social movements have been the struggles for ego. And that struggle for ego, I think, often come, not that I want to go into extensive psychologizing, but I think that has often come out of personal pain and wounding. And people have this passion then to remedy that by competition and power struggles. And I have seen so many of our wonderful movements and struggles undone, even at their moments of glory, by people trying. And mind you, I have often been part of these errors myself, so I'm not just saying this in a judgmental way. But I believe this is a historical moment, a truly historical moment, a moment of opportunity and vision and hope in a very desperate world. And the last thing I want to say, so I don't go on forever, is I think it represents a great challenge to the established political progressive movements of all kinds, of all variety, to find a way. This requires great ingenuity, intelligence, and courage. Find a way of supporting this without trying to take it over, doing it in a very respectful way, doing it in a very humble way. I am a great believer in, even in the biblical saying, you know, that a little child shall lead them. And years ago, I had the privilege of co-founding an organization called Children of War, where we brought together teenage youth from about 40 war zones and helped them become leaders and role models for other youth. And it educated me about youth intelligence, youth courage, youth imagination, youth generosity. And I've never been the same since, you know, in a society where I think young people are generally, if they're not violated and despised, at least they're patronized. And so I just wanted to share those few thoughts with you, Robert, on your, and it's always an honor to share the airwaves with you.
Paul Meyer, you are a candle on our rebirth day cake.
how lovely.
And I know that you've been busy, if I recall correctly.
This is true.
What you been doing? What's your project?
Well, the most recent thing was I was arrested at the White House a week or two ago. I've been very much involved, you know, in the climate change movement and in the most recent struggle, which you know about so well, the tar sands action. You know, this, I won't elaborate, but I think for our fellow listeners, that up in beautiful Alberta, there are these sand deposits which can contain a very filthy form of tar and sludge that the oil companies are now trying to extract in their quietly desperate knowledge that in, you know, within our not too distant future, you know, we will hit peak oil. So this is a very, one of the most polluting ways of extracting oil. So that is the carbon pollution that begins right in the extraction process, and then it goes on, the burning of this oil when it's finally refined, if one can even use a word like that for something so dirty, will be one of the most polluting forms of oil. It is raping the beautiful landscape up there, and then as a final obscenity, they want to build, they're calling it an XL pipeline, an extra enormous pipeline through the beautiful Borealis wilderness of the native Canadian people, and then through our country, through Wyoming, Kansas, and all the way to Texas, and out to the Gulf. And so our president has the power to single-handedly stop this without any congressional approval. And this will be one of the worst. And so we have been importuning him. And as you know, a couple of weeks ago, in a two-week period.
You know, Paul, the problem with Barack Obama's social intercourse with people is that it is one-handed.
Yes, indeed. How true, how true. What a heartbreak, and yet we try to find some place of conscience there, and in the course of 2 weeks, as you know, 1,250 people were arrested, and then there's going to be on November 6th a sort of a follow-up on the, I think it's actually on the anniversary of his election, there's going to be an attempt to ring the White House, because he has to make this decision before the end of the year, and it's a major decision. So that's one of the things I've been working on, besides trying to finish my memoirs, and I'm almost finished.
Yay, that will be a revelation, and that is something that equals age. It's more love and more joy than age or time could ever destroy. And I look forward to reading that.
Well, thank you, thank you. When it's done, maybe I'll share it with you and your program sometime.
You got a deal. Reverend Paul Mayer, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, bless you, my beloved brother. Have a good night.
All right. You know, there's a tradition from Burundi throughout the continent, Hindu, Japanese, Muslim, all around the world, the drum can talk to you. Langston Hughes poeticized about it. And these folks today at Occupy Wall Street, let the drums talk. And people may talk and say, well, it's a certain stripe of society. No, I saw a rainbow. In fact, some of the bare-chested drummers were painted in rainbows. And just like Superman promised, despite the Obamanoid kryptonite, that you'll believe a man can fly, you'll believe a drum can talk and set you free. And that is my gift. Listen to the many polyrhythmic things being done at this moment from Tuesday at the Wall Street occupation at Liberty Plaza. It is magic. It is hypnotic. It is polycultural. It is pluralistic. It is male and female, young and old. And the rhythms, too, can set you free. I'd like to thank you for having the courage to listen tonight to Earthwatch. If you want to be in deeper touch, drop a letter to Robert Knight, Earthwatch, 120 Wall Street, New York, 10005. Or immunicate to R Knight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, Robert Knight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org. Thanks to Sydney Smith for engineering us through the earlier part of the evening. And do stay tuned for more mystical enchantment when Jim Freund joins us in a few minutes with Hour of the Wolf. This is the Pacifica Radio Network, WBAI 99.5 WBAI in New York. And that concludes this edition of Earthwatch. It is done.
WBAI, New York. Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. This is a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. This morning, well, a very, very strange edition. We'll be here until 5 a.m. in a new location with unfamiliar circumstances. But we have a familiar and wonderful guest, Terrence Taylor. Stay tuned.
Baby came, ring, ring, no harm. It means no ready.